radio program is specially made for you. Zone 72, a radio program for youth and by youth, giving you a platform to talk about access of youth-friendly services, sex education, building the emotional, physical, and intellectual health of youth, and advocating for government policies to strengthen youth capacities. Tune in every Saturday at 4 p.m. to be part of the Zone 72 Youth Radio Program, only on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan. Welcome to Zone 72, a radio program for youth and by youth, featuring stories that talk about access of youth-friendly services, sex education, building the emotional, physical, and intellectual health of youth, and advocating for government policies to strengthen youth capacities. Only on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of Zone 72 Youth Program. And my name is Winnie Eric, your host for the program. Zone 72 Youth Program focuses on the rights and choices for all adolescents and youth, and the program as well emphasizes on the three-pillared global strategy for adolescents and youth, putting young people at the center of sustainable developments. This program is brought to you in collaboration with the Canadian Association of Midwives, UNFPA, Shabab Le Shabab, and SANAMA. Zone 72 Youth Program airs every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan. In today's edition of the program, we shall focus on the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula that shall be marked to tomorrow, which is May 23rd, and get to know more about child marriage and how it could contribute to the high number of cases of obstetric fistula. The discussion will also focus forms of gender-based violence in the diaspora and in the country as a whole. Later on the show, we shall also be hearing from young women overcoming experiences of child marriage and gender-based violence in South Sudan. But before proceeding with our discussions, let's have a brief background on International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. May 23rd is the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula, which raises awareness and promotes action towards treating and preventing obstetric fistula. According to the United Nations, every day more than 800 women die from pregnancy-related complications. For every woman who dies, 20 or more are injured or disabled. One of the most serious childbearing injuries is obstetric fistula, a tear in the birth canal caused by prolonged obstructed labor in the absence of timely and adequate medical care. If left untreated, it can lead to infection, disease, and infertility. With such an injury to the birth canal, women leak urine and feces, which may cause her husband to abandon her community to shun her, and employment opportunities to vanish. For many sufferers, they have resigned to a life of misery and isolation. Obstetric fistula can occur in all women of reproductive age. However, young bodies not ready for pregnancy and childbirth in the case of child marriage or unintended pregnancy are especially vulnerable. In South Sudan, thousands of women suffer from obstetric fistula, and COVID-19 pandemic has worsened the problem with spikes in child marriages, disruptions to family planning and sexual and reproductive health services, and inequalities in healthcare systems. The theme of this year's commemoration of the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula is Women's Rights Are Human Rights, End Fistula Now. So, what causes obstetric fistula, and how does child marriage contribute to the risk of getting obstetric fistula? And what about the forms of GBV affecting young women and girls today? Let's first listen to testimonies of young women overcoming experiences of child marriage and GBV. Stay tuned. When I came back to my maternal uncle's home, my uncle said that my sister has not been married. They have mistreated my sister because the husband is dead. And since her daughter is beautiful structure, we shall take her back to the cattle camp back in the village. When we get someone to marry her who will have many cows, they will be equivalent to that of her late mother's dowry. So I told my uncle that that will not happen and I am not going back to the cattle camp. So they took me back. They took me to my uncle's place in Mading, Bor town, and tie me down with electric wire cables and lock me down in a room for 3 days.
One of my biggest regrets was getting married at a young age. Life got so tough. I nearly died while giving birth at home. Now my daughter, mother and I live in so much poverty. We hardly get food to eat, but my mother works so hard to provide what she can. I don't know how the future will look like for me.
Those were voices of young women overcoming experiences of child marriage and gender-based violence. Now, what is the importance of commemorating the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula? For a better discussion on today's topic, I am now joined by James Labadia, a program manager for Active Youth Agency. You are welcome to Zone 72 Youth Program on iRadio.
Thank you.
Well, Labadia, to start with, what is the reason behind the celebration of the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula?
Thank you, Winnie. I'm honored to be part of this show today. Regarding the question, as explained from the theme of the day, say women's rights are human rights and end fistula now. Fistula itself, as we have heard from you, is the rupture between the rectum and the vaginal, you know, of a person who is trying to deliver at the labor. Therefore, if people are not aware that something of this kind is happening, and as it has been explained, it normally happens to young people. When we hear from the story of the young girls that just spoken, one said, I was taken to hospital and the scissor was used for cutting me so that I got delivered. It means that when such young people get pregnant and they are to go for labor, such things normally may happen. Therefore, people have to know about it, and we talk about reproductive health care, that people should know that when you abstain pregnancy for now, you will have a mature body to get pregnant tomorrow. For example, family planning, and they have a skilled birth attendance to care for such kind of people, I think it is very key. Therefore, if at all we have a sister who has been suffering from obstetric fistula, there is a need to take that person to hospital because there is a surgery that is normally done to support such kind of people to recover from the problem that they undergo. Thank you.
Okay. There's one thing I need clarification from you that's concerning the operation of fistula. Is it for free or for money?
Normally, operation of fistula is when you come to government-run hospitals like the Juba Teaching Hospital, it is done for free of charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have partners that normally support, like Samaritan Post normally sends their expert doctors to come and they do such kind of services. UNFPA, who is the guru in reproductive health services, have always been advocating, and the GPV subcluster is always lobbying with the partners to make sure that the persons suffering from fistula are supported. And sometimes we see adverts coming up that if you have such kind of persons suffering in community, bring them and we can support. Thank you.
Okay. Now, what is child marriage and how does it contribute to the risk of getting obstetric fistula?
Yeah, in first place, when you talk about early and child marriage, early means that girls are married before the age of 18. It means that this person is still very young, are married before the age of 18. And when you talk about, for marriage for young people, it means that the not consent is being taken, and their consent is not considered as consent. They are always forced. That's why we qualify the word to be called early and forced marriage. You know, this kind of marriage is the marriage that is entered between children. Okay, for marriage before the age of 18 and they entered between the children. Therefore, when such a child get pregnant at that tender age, that child's body is still not fully mature to observe, to observe pregnancy and deliver safely. That's why in such circumstances, this kind of children get birth at the hospital, or sometimes if it is at the village level, they are always attended to by maybe traditional birth attendant, not a really midwife or doctor. Therefore, the chances of getting fistula are very, very, very high. That's why we said their body is not mature, they are not ready, and their cervix is not yet expanded to make sure that they deliver safely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens when a girl gets pregnant, gets married at a tender age as an expert?
Exactly. We know very well that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Human Rights talks about such kind of marriage, involve coercion. Coercion means force. Involves coercion. Parents, guidance, or families put pressure on that kind of person to get married. And when they get married, at the time the menstruation is coming, because these people are normally sent when they see their menstruation. Therefore, when that girl gets married, she will get pregnant. And getting pregnant, she will always, I think, if there is a functional health facility, go and seek medical assistance or go to midwives to check. They call it a checkup that it is done on monthly basis. But then, if that person is a child, the delivery aspect now will involve two things. Number one, if she's lucky, she will get, birth freely with that traditional birth attendant or with the midwife. Or if she's not lucky, the example of this lady, that scissors have to be used to cut some of her private parts to make sure that the child comes out, is imminent, it will happen. And at that stage, sometimes the attendant will cut it wrongly. Is cut wrongly, therefore it means that it will lead to this rupture, or sometimes at the force that the lady forces the child out, the rupture will happen between the anus and the vagina. Therefore, it leaves whole. Urine can just pass. Therefore, this means that that child, the consequences of that early marriage, results to her permanent disability. This is permanent It's called a permanent disability if it is not treated. But when that person now seeks medical attention at the early age, she will be helped and treated by qualified doctors. And I really want to say something briefly about the causes of this early marriage that make us push our young girls to get married. One of these causes is what we call gender inequality. We do not value our young girls to the boys. That's why we said, okay, when I see her communicating with someone on phone or somewhere, then I force her to go for marriage, which is still not her right time to get married. Second, you know, at this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, the economic situation of families are, you know, shrinking. Okay, therefore, poverty pushes us, or poverty pushes people in the country to, you know, marry off their ladies at a young age so that they get something on return to feed on. One of the things is the cultural norms that we have in our communities, that the ladies, when you are growing up as a young lady, families or community begin to say that for you, you are our, you know, wealth. You know, when someone is nicknamed to be wealth, therefore this person thinks about marriage, and the people around also thinks of marrying her off. This is also one of the, and I want to say that the weak enforcement of our laws. We have the transitional constitution of South Sudan, which talks about, you know, early or first marriage. But there is no clear article that talks about marriageable age. You know, talks about children under the age of 18 are not supposed to be married, but how many years? Okay, is it 20? Is it 25? Is it which kind of year that I get married? It is one of the causes, because they say that I've reached 18 and I'm ready to be married, compromising certain things like education and the others, making people to go early for marriage. And lastly, pressure caused by conflicts. That we are now in conflict. Can I just go for marriage so that someone protects me? And after doing all of this, it has its consequences. One of the consequences is what we are talking about. Fistula happens, and it is very, very serious that we need to take care of so that our young ones do not suffer from our own actions. Thank you.
Okay. And the cases of early marriage is serious in South Sudan. Now, how can we prevent child marriage in South Sudan?
You know, one of the practical things that we can do is the full implementation of SNAP. SNAP is the South Sudan National Action Plan to prevent early and first marriage. This is a policy document came up with by the government of South Sudan. It's an action plan that we need to implement so that, you know, in SNAP there are series of things: education, promotion of education for young girls, you know, enforcement of laws, you know, coming up with some policies that can prevent even communities from selling their ladies out. You know, if we fully implement SNAP in South Sudan, I think it will make us to see it reducing the early and the first marriage that is prevalent in the country. I also want to say that undertake the review of the legal frameworks that we have in the country, like the constitution, like a penal code. Penal code has a section that prohibits early and first marriage, but it has got no clear penalty for someone who is found marrying his or her daughter early, or to the perpetrator who is entering into marriage with a child. There is no very clear, you know, article that talks about how many years can such a person go for jail. Well, I've not seen this in our penal code of South Sudan 2008. We also want to provide protection and expand the space for CSOs and the media, like iRadio. If iRadio is vocal and the other media outlets are vocal talking about it, I think it is always something that can be picked. Therefore, we need a space for civil society organizations, and we need a space for media to clearly condemn the act of early and first marriage so that the fistula in the country is reduced. When we reduce early and first marriage, I think the case of fistula will get reduced, because only a few percentage will get such complications. We also need to integrate early and first marriage, you know, programming prevention and the response in our daily activities. Mm. We need the responses for that, and that need to be scaled up. And the most importantly, the prevention aspect. What can we do? Changing the norms, cultures, and the behaviors, beliefs of people towards early and first marriage is one of the key things that we need to. And doing this can be with our community leaders, can be with our church leaders, can be with our government, can be with the heads of family. When we involve them, when we engage them in prevention activities, that we begin making them, realizing that I was doing this and this could be the rightful way for us to move together, I think it will be one of the key things that can make us reduce the effect of early and forced marriage in South Sudan.
Okay. Well, we have heard more from young women experiencing gender-based violence. So what is gender-based violence and what are the forms?
Yes, gender-based violence is violence that targets individual or groups of individuals based on their gender, okay, or social ascribed differences in community. The violence I do to you because you are a lady, and I slap you, I do whatever I want to do because you are a lady. This is what clearly we call gender-based violence. Gender-based violence is an act that also results or likely to result to harm, okay? Mm-hmm. And it can transfer in physical, hitting, slapping, kicking, this is what we call violent, the physical. It comes in form of sexual, and the sexual gender-based violence comes in the form of rape, comes in the form of unwanted touches that we call harassment that happens, and this watching of, movies that can make someone think sex, this is a sexual gender-based violence. We talk about psychological or emotional, that you just utter word that, demean or makes that person look small, in the community, and it changes that person's thinking and makes that person feel not well. I am born this person by mistake. This is violence that you do to that person that can hurt that person and makes that person burn out completely. And economically, and when we talk about economical violence, is when you deny someone opportunities and the rights to access money, to receive money, to go for school, so that in the future that person maybe get employment and get paid. This is what we call economic violence. These are the four categories of the violence. Therefore, when we talk about the sexual violence, the aspect of early and forced marriage falls under that. Mm. Falls under that, because why is a young lady married? Because you want to, abuse her vulnerability as a young person for sexual intention, for sexual purposes. Therefore, this is one, and sometimes they call it, other traditional norms or traditional practices that we have in the community, like FGM, female genital mutilation, early and forced marriage, also falls under forms of gender-based violence that we have in our societies.
Okay. Now, how can we prevent GBV against women and girls in South Sudan?
I want to bring it from perspective of personal and the environment. Like I am a person and the environment, and I will be talking about perspective of institutional. Okay? Mm. Personal, I'm looking at the family. At the family level, how can we prevent gender-based violence? Having a loving relationship, I, a husband, and you, not you, of
a
course.
Wife.
A wife. I'm talking about a wife, okay?
Yeah.
I and wife, we live with each other. We have interactions. We do not slap each other. We do not quarrel at each other. It means that we started to prevent gender-based violence from our own home. We have boy and girls treated equal at our family. I don't favor this young boy, I don't favor this young girl, but both of them are my children. Mm. This, and the violence is not tolerated. When violence is perpetrated to someone based on that person's gender or sex, it's not tolerated. And again, I want to say that for us to prevent gender-based violence in our communities or our families, we talk about the positive discipline. How do you discipline your children positive, not the corporal aspect of the discipline that you do, even to your members of the family. Lastly, absence of alcohol can make us prevent at our family levels. When we drink, I know for us we drink to boost our morale, to make us feel happy, but sometimes it influences us and moves us to certain action which makes your family separated. At the environment also, I'm talking about the school, because when we really plant the aspect of GBV prevention in schools, it will make us realize the impact, because we are bringing up generation, the future generation that will now begin, you know, practicing positive living. Like positive teacher-student relationship is one of the things, and I'm talking about fair disciplinary policies at the school level. It will make us, because we don't favor boys, we don't favor girls, you just focus on school-related policy, I think it's okay. Good relationship with the parents. If teachers also have a good relationship with the parents, will now come up, children will tell them issues, they will discuss with the parents, and things will begin changing. You know, I want us to take this perspective. Again, at the person and the environment, look at the neighbors. Do we have safe streets, okay, for our girls, for our boys, for our people to move around? I think it is one of the things. Do we have a community education on gender, and how do we prevent it from happening in our community? If we are always going ahead, creating awareness to our members of community, I think it will make us prevent. And we talk about sanctions against violence, okay? Sanctions at the community level. And lastly, our connectedness at the learning institutions of the community. Therefore, this is a person and environment aspect that I have discussed about, but I want us to talk about the institutional aspect.
Aspect, yeah.
Yeah. From the institution, I'm talking about the protection. Okay? Like a protection partner. I am protection partner, and what we need to advocate for is the legislative against the gender-based violence is one of the key things, and how can it be implemented is also key. Provision of health and community services that can make people know their rights, and the services that can promote their development at the community level is one of the key things. And community strengthening activities, awareness raising, and this needed to be enshrined or put in our policies for the advocacy. I want to talk about other institutions like media. Media can advocate for anti gender-based violence in the community, because they bring up the issue, talk about it, and people contribute their ideas. Will make people begin reducing. If I do it, media will bring my ills out. You know, this is one of the key things that can make us, can shame us sometimes, you know. Therefore, poverty reduction. As we see, one of the early causes of early marriage is poverty. Therefore, if we implement policies that can reduce poverty, can raise our GDP at the country level, I think it will make people not abuse each other, because we have money, we have food, we have whatever we are looking for. Therefore, why should I sell my daughter? Why should I beat? Why should I, you know, hide myself for my wife to be only the one who is breadwinner at home? Mm. One of the things women empowerment programs is also one of the key things that we need to work on, because we men, I want to say that I'm not trying to reinforce the status quo, but from our forefathers until now, men have gone, okay? Men have gone. Our sisters are left behind because of the multiple factors. If we also empower them, we promote them, they will come at a certain level. Not to dislodge us, not to push us away from families, but to move together as partners. I think things will be okay. Lastly, equitable promotion at the community level, at the work level, at the government level. If we promote a based on our qualifications, I think things will move very, very well. And lastly, at the educational policy level, we need allow equal access for boys and girls. for education is one of the key things that I think will make girls also study well, boys also study well, and we move together as a community. We move together, and the violence will obvious end. Who do you think will fight a minister?
Nobody. Okay, thank you so much, Labadia. You are still listening to Zone 72 Youth Program on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan. And that was James Labadia, a program manager for Active Youth Agency, is speaking. Our studio lines are now open. You can call on 0922-986-986 or 0911-986-986, or you can send a text on 0913-986-986 to share your opinion and tell me how can we stop child marriage in South Sudan, and why do you think we should end gender-based violence against women and girls? Or if you have any question you would like to ask my guest, you are also welcome. I read you.
Hello.
Yes, please. What's your name and where are you calling from?
You are calling with James Peter Ola from WOW.
You're welcome, James.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
How is Mariah? I want to greet my people.
This is iRadio. This is not Mariah. You are not greeting.
Yes,
can I ask you a question?
Yes, welcome.
Okay. Tell me, how can we stop child marriage in South Sudan?
Okay. When we want to stop child marriage, we put the law on the forward to guiding all the learners or the those who used to force their children to the law marriage, because we saw Sudan, what we plan for reaching, but when you want to get rich, first of all, you would leave your learners or your child to be mature or to be bigger and to study. Then after there, you will look for the what you would consider beneficiary.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, welcome.
Thanks, James Peter, for that positive feedback. And you can also share your contribution with me and tell me, how can we stop child marriage in the country, and why do you think we should end gender-based violence against women and girls? Shukran lekulu mustamainta eza iRadio fi barnamig ta Zone 72 ode hasa fursa takia santa bagder sherik raya takiwo alela nabuwo nisu fogo teriga tawogiv nasur alboli algihasel le nusu wan wapanatu woyomde Dunia gize kirkulium talata osirin, talata shirin ta sar kamsa kulumat sena. So asana derarufu min ita bezat anina gogif jozu al iktifal kefi junub Sudan au malu uwa mohim asan anina biwogif unfudit al nole nusuwan wapana titabagder serik tuwale. I read you.
No?
Yes, please. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm called Madal. I'm calling from WOW.
You're welcome, Madal.
The program is about child marriage and how it is going to be stopped.
Yes.
I read you. I don't know your name, but I'll just call you my daughter. This is a very big program, and it needs the community of South Sudan to put it in action. First of all, we need all the communities in South Sudan, in every community, whether Dinka, Nuer, and all those 64 tribes in South Sudan to enact child marriage in each community, reduce marriage size. Number two, why am I saying so? The number of male has reduced because of this crisis in South Sudan. It has actually reduced the number of male. And the number of female is up, and yet they are still being marginalized. I'm a father, and I want this to be done. I'm one of the fathers who helps the children in the school, boys and girls, as equal.
Yeah.
And I don't want my daughter to be married earlier. And I don't want even my son to marry earlier, unless she finishes his studies first.
Okay.
So that later on, you could do something to the nation.
All right.
To reduce it, the marriage has to be enacted to put into a number, whether it is money, goat, cattle, the girl has to be allowed to complete her studies. And even the boy also will go ahead, because he will not be in need of marrying quickly, because there's no cows, there's no money, there's no... Because when he's educated, he will get his own money, he will get everything when he's educated.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
These are just few that I can give.
Okay. Thank you so much, Madol, for that contribution. He's a teacher and he understands the benefit of taking care of girls and young women. Okay, you can also share yours with me inside the studio. And my name is Winnie Eric, a host for this Zone 72 youth program. And this program comes to you every Saturday at 4 p.m. And today, what I would like to know from you is, how can we stop child marriage in the country? And why do you think we should end gender-based violence against women and girls in the country? I read you.
Yeah, I've forgotten one important point.
Okay, Madol.
Yeah, one important point is for girls themselves.
Mm.
You know, at their age, there are some girls that who wanted to continue studying, and there are girls that who wanted to get married, to give birth to the child, because her mate. Her best mate has given a birth to a child, or is married. So they want to compete in giving birth. So you also tell the girls.
Okay.
Yeah, tell them not to compete in marriage, because if you give the birth after you have finished studies, it's also the same as if you have given birth earlier.
Okay. Thank you.
This is a very, very, very serious point.
Okay.
I have witnessed, I have experienced this in our community.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madol, once again for that contribution. Madol Kelim, Kanita Binia Kaman, Derita Bar, of course. Matarafi Josas and Dufa Taki Weli Du. Menkin Kanta Indu Zol, Item Dufad. Itainuo indu jena kamanta bibada kelim zamantaki fati taburafi joza itabinesitu sunugira hasa later. Okay, thank you for that contribution. Ita kaman back there, Sherik Maano Twalifida Kill Studio Ta Iza I Radio. Teriga ali nas back there. Wogif ma unfdit ali no lenuswan wa banat. Au kaman bezat alina biwogif jozu al iktifal. Au Josule Yal Sukelin de Kefi, Junuba Sudan, Sherik Maana. I read you.
Andrew, for a while.
You're welcome, Andrew.
Thank you.
Mm.
You know, the problem, our problem is in the rural area.
Mm.
So in rural area, these people, they don't get the message. But now it is good people who are in the town, they just get the message from radio, from TV, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in a rural area, this is where the problem comes, because people take the girl to be the resources. Because whenever you have, you don't have anything, you can take your child to somebody married. Because of the cow. So we should have to take the children and take them to school.
Mm.
Also, we should help to make to involve them in the decision making, because when a girl says, "I don't like to be married early," it should have to be accepted by the parents of the girl. But now, children, especially the girl, are not involved in the decision. So, non-discrimination also is there, because when Charlie refused to be married, so parents can discriminate that child. What can these children can be done when you are discriminated? Because you are refused, you are not accepted. What the parent is telling you?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Andrew, for that contribution. Andrew mentioned something about child marriage mostly happening in villages. Yes, because they don't get information. Now, as an expert, how do you reach some of this information concerning child marriage in the villages?
Thank you very much. I am aware South Sudan has 10 states, and out of these 10 states, there are 79 counties. You know, SNAP that I talked of, the National Action Plan, for ending early and forced marriage, it has its framework that needed to be, you know, trickled down up to the Buma level, coming from Buma, just like a healthy system is working. You know, we have there's this partnership with the health that when a child or a mother comes to antenatal care services, there's this part of information that is passed. We have this, connectivity or connection. But the second thing is the partners, availability of the GBV partners in the respective counties. You know, this GBV partners in a regular basis create awareness. But of course, we have a challenge. You know, of course, we have challenges. Though they create awareness, and we think that awareness should reach to all of the corners of the country, we still lack availability of the partners to reach all of the places, you know, to reach all the places so that everyone gets the information. This is let me talk about, you know, when you go to counties like states like Western Equatoria, there are only 4 GBV partners actively, you know, on ground. Therefore, these 4 partners cannot reach all the corners of the 10 counties of Western Equatoria. When you go to Western Bakarat Gazal, let me give an example of WOW. Yes, WOW have some 2 to 3 GBV partners in WOW itself, like UNFPA, we have Nile Hope, we have IMC, they are there, but, you know, the coverage itself is not, it will not be convenient or enough. Their resources will not allow them to go to the village, all the villages, so that everyone gets the information. However, we, in partnership with our Minister for Gender, Child and Social Welfare, we are making an effort to make so that there are social workers that are trained to provide services, to provide GBV services to the people. But of course, we cannot reach all the places. Therefore, the small we are doing, it can be extended by members of community, by members of the villages, you know, so that when you hear and communicate back to your people in village, I think it can also help them very, very, very well. I want to say one thing on what our colleague, our brother Modul,
Madul.
I'm sorry if I pronounced not well. Yes, Madul talked about, you know, making even girls themselves aware that, can we act responsibly, so that when I act responsibly, when I hear the advices of my parents, I will become like that lady who drives on the streets of Juba, who drives on the streets of WOW. I think this, by doing this, they will also, by themselves, you know, protect themselves and make sure that they have got better future. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Andrew, let me hope you've got the answer to what you really need to understand more. And another thing you can do is, since you've had it, that you've had the discussion over the radio, you can pass the information to that person who is deep in the village not getting the information, and together we move. Let me pick this call. I radio.
Hello.
Yes, please. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm Abdul Charles from Pajok.
Welcome, Charles.
Yeah, thank you. So, I'm very grateful to have you this evening, and I really very happy for the discussion of the youth forum.
Thanks.
Yeah, so on the GDP, we actually concentrated on the gender violence.
Mm.
So, we are appreciated in Pajo here. We have GDV, Kalasta, and we really have a Monday meeting in each every school. So we discuss all the progressing of the protection of the child and the gender-based violence concerning about the violence which is taking about the child early marriage and all. All these things we are discussing.
Okay.
So, we are really pleased to have you, and we ask to our community to stop the violence against the women and the children. Especially in this situation, we really to protect the child in the school and to protect our women in the home. So, we really have also to invite our NGOs to support the GDB program.
Mm.
So you can help our women and the children. And thank you for your coming up with this agenda.
Okay, interesting. Thank you, Charles, for that positive feedback. And you can also share yours with me inside the studio. Or if you have questions concerning GBV or child marriage, as a young person, you can ask. I have expert inside the studio with me. He will respond to you immediately. I read you.
Hello?
Yes, please. What's your name and where are you calling from?
From Zella from Kajuk. How are you there?
I'm fine. Stella, right?
Okay. I'm very happy for your program that you have opened for us.
Thank you.
That is very nice. Good.
Thanks.
Because at this moment now, guys don't care about school. They focus on marriage and forget about school, which is not good. Because...
Wow, Stella, you got stuck. I don't know if it's network, but you are bringing nice point. Thank you. Thanks for that one that you have tried. And I'm going to pick now one last caller because of our time. And after that, we go to our line of SMS. I read you.
Hello.
Yes, please. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm John Pio from WOW.
You're welcome, John Pio.
Okay, actually, can stop child marriage is education. Educate more girls so that they don't see marriage as the only future. Their future will be in education. And also, in the schools of girls, I remember in 50s, those who teach in school of girls are not young people, because they can go into relations with their students. They are old men who are responsible, and so on. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John Pio, for that positive feedback. Now, let's go to our line of SMS. There's someone here saying, good evening, I radio, call me Johnson Kirk from St. Joseph Paris, Kwajok. We would have to accept human rights system with full understanding so that everyone knows his or her rights. That one should free us rather than ignore them. Okay, thank you, Johnson. And there's another one here also who said, Dr. Joseph Kony Kunya from Lobonok. The solution to stop GBV is by sending the children to the school. Okay, thanks all of you for that message. Now, coming back to you, James Labadia, what is your last remark to your audience?
Thank you very much. It is possible we will prevent gender-based violence from happening. This is one. The second thing is, if at all GBV have happened to one of your person, colleague, or your sister, whoever, we have a toll-free line in the country, and it's being managed at Juba level, but you can call from anywhere and you get assistance. The free toll line is 623. There's one number which is 623, and there's another one, 662. If you call any of these two lines, they will give you assistance in case you have faced gender-based violence or your child is getting married at an early age. A child can also call that number or what. Whoever needs this assistance will be helped. This is our country-level line that gives assistance all over South Sudan. Thank you very much, and thank you for hosting me for second time.
Okay. Thank you, James Labadia, for that nice remark. And always know that we are closing at exactly 5, and if I didn't pick your call, do not worry. Next Saturday, we shall continue with the same program. And youth, always you can send us questions about adolescent health to youthzone72@gmail.com or call 0922-009-497. And the hotlines include for GBV is 623, COVID-19 is 6666, adolescent health immediate is 885. With that, we have come to the end of today's edition of Zone 72 Youth Program, which tackled International Day to End Obstetric Fistula, and we also looked at child marriage and forms of gender-based violence. And my guest in the studio was James Labadia, a program manager for Active Youth Agency. Thank you for participating in the show, and remember to join us again the coming Saturday at 4 p.m. for another edition of the program. My name is Winnie Eric. Until next time, stay safe.
We don't know how she always finds a way. The mystery of a woman, a savior in a time of need. The bravery of a woman, in your time of need, she does the deed. The magic of a woman, woman, woman. A warrior is a woman, woman, woman. A savior is a woman, woman, woman. A warrior is a woman, woman, woman. A savior is a woman, yeah, yeah. Smiles, her shoes have walked 1,000 miles. The sticks of stone can break her bones. She welcomes all her friends and foes. When her spirit's down, she has no time to frown. A warrior is a woman, woman, woman. A warrior is a woman, woman, woman. A savior is a woman, woman, woman. A warrior is a woman, woman, woman. A savior is a woman.